Judy Douglas knows what it's like to have a son far, far from home. And not just physically far, either.
You get so weary in the journey that you think, okay, I'm just going to go in and live my life. And if he comes back, that'll be wonderful, but I can't bank on it.
Ultimately, says Judy,
God's the only one who really knows what's going to work for them, what's going to help them to be able to come back. And he is the one who can help me or any other person who loves a prodigal to hang in there with them.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth, author of Surrender, The Heart God Controls. For June 4th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh.
Dana, I think that this series with my longtime friend Judy Douglas may elicit as much or more response than anything we've done in a long time. And what makes me think that is anytime I post a comment or a testimony or a quote on social media that has anything to do with prodigals, prodigal children in particular, my feed blows up. I mean, people just are so struggling for hope, for help. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of desperation in the hearts of so many parents, and you've seen this among people that you know and love as well.
Oh, I'm praying with several of my friends right now that God would bring their children's hearts back to Him and to them. And it's deeply painful. There are seasons and times of hopelessness, but I think Judy, listening to her voice these last 2 days, has given me new hope for those friends who are walking through that painful time.
So, Judy, thank you for joining us here on Revive Our Hearts to talk about something that is not only your journey with an adopted son, Josh, who's given freedom to tell this story. He's now in his late 30s and in a very different place, but there were 15 years of, like, hanging on by your toenails sort of
yep.
crisis and all the impact of that on your family. We're going to unpack a little bit more of that story, but thank you not only for living, you know, being willing to walk through that journey to love a child well, to love a prodigal well, but also for letting God shape and mold you and your husband, Steve, the president of CRU, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ, and then to reflect. Here's what I love about what I've seen in you through this journey, the desire to reflect the Father heart of God. That's what this takes us to, is God who is compassionate and merciful with all of us who are prodigal. We are all prodigals, right?
We are all prodigals. Well, Luke 15 is probably my favorite story for this story. You know, this boy comes to him and says, I want my inheritance. Well, inheritance wasn't money in the bank. It was land and animals, and so he must have had to sell things and diminish his income as a result, and let him go. And you know his heart is breaking, not only for what his son has just said and done to him, but what's going to happen to him. And yet he doesn't quit hoping, because we know he's looking. Every day he must look, said, is he coming? Is he coming? And we aren't told how long it is. But we know the son comes to his senses finally when he's living with the pigs.
And through all of this, the dad doesn't know what's going on.
No, he does not.
And how true that is for a lot of parents. I hear it. I don't know where my child is. I don't know what he or she is doing. And there's that.
So many.
Like, you just got to cling to the Lord while that child is in that far country.
Because you don't know. I have a friend whose son is, well, let's say he hasn't seen him in 12 years, I think. He did actually talk to him twice and actually thinks maybe his son's warming up a little. But that's just one of many, many stories that I know of. The kids are gone. They won't speak to them. They won't let them see their grandchildren.
Yeah.
Horrible stories. And yet the father waits. And then when he sees him coming and the son has rehearsed his apology and asking for forgiveness and mercy, and the dad runs out there to greet him, and he grabs him and he says, "Oh, Father, I have sinned." And he says, "I love you. We're well, you're back. My son was lost and now he's found." And that's what God says about us. Mm-hmm. He's watching, and all of us, when we make our forays into bad decisions, maybe not as much now, but occasionally, and attitudes more than anything. But when we have in the past, and God is eagerly waiting for us to return so he can welcome us.
And I love that the father saw him when he was a long way
off. A long way away.
He's longing.
It is just a beautiful picture of what our Father is like and how he feels about us, as well as how he feels about those that we love. And yes, he knows the end of the story and we don't. And I realize that's a harder thing for us in a sense. But at the same time, he tells us that the hard places are really doors of hope. That we go into these hard places and we think this is going to be difficult. I can't make it through this. I don't know what to do. I have no answers. And God says, this is a door of hope. And if you'll walk through this with me, I'm going to show you the hope that you can have. And all of us, our hope is that these we love would come back, that they would return to us and to the Lord, or come to the Lord, that they would return to a better life than the one that they're choosing. And we can't make that happen. We can facilitate, we can make it easier, but we can't make it happen. But God says, cling to me. Don't let go of me. In the book, Hinds Feet on High Places, Little Much Afraid gets separated in a fog in a valley from her companion, Sorrow and Suffering. And she's totally lost, and she's trying to get to the high places to be with the Good Shepherd. And she's lost, and she's despairing, and she loses hope. And she says, I'll never make it. And then she remembers that the shepherd said, if you call, I'll come. Mm-hmm. And she said, shepherd, and he was there. And here's the key, and this is what I have held on to so many times. She said, I'm lost. I'll never make it. How am I going to do this? And he said, oh, little much afraid. He says, you're going to make it. You just don't know. I'm always working. You just can't see it in this fog. But I'm accomplishing my purposes.
Wow.
And the thing that blows my mind is God accomplishes his purposes in so many ways. It's not just that our loved one returns.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not just that what we're struggling with, that he takes care of us in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it rolls out into other people's lives and to ways. I mean, I have a book because of our son.
And the book is called When You Love a Prodigal. So God birthed a means of grace and ministry through you as a result of the wilderness that you walked through, not for 15 days or 15 weeks or months, but 15 long, hard years, as you say, in the wilderness. And this book is 90 days of readings, 90 days of grace for the wilderness. We're making it available to all of our listeners this week, because I can't imagine that there's a listener who doesn't either have some loved one who is in some sense a prodigal, or you have a friend who has a loved one who's a prodigal. And I think, Judy, God's going to use this book to minister much grace to people who are walking through those hard paths that you've walked. And for those who haven't been with us over the last couple of days, I do hope that you'll go back and to reviveourhearts.com and listen to the first two parts of this conversation. But I want you to just remind us some of the things, some of the hard things that you walked through with your beloved prodigal son, Josh, who's given you freedom to tell this story. He's in a way different place today in his late 30s. But just give us a sense of what that was like.
Okay, lots of things. We learned so many things we knew nothing about. We learned about the juvenile justice system. He spent a little time at JDC, juvenile detention. His gang, there were gang fights a couple of times. I never knew if the phone call in the middle of the night was going to be from the police or from the hospital. We got both. Mm. The police, he ended up in jail. That didn't turn out to be a big deal except for this wonderful blessing. He was on probation for 2 years. Absolutely wonderful, because it kept him from making a lot of bad choices because he was afraid to go back to jail. Mm. And so that was great. But there were, let's see, I think 17 cars in 5 years that he went through. We learned how you get out of tickets. We learned when you go to court and when you don't. We learned a lot about alcohol, though we had already known a lot about that from extended family situation. We learned about drugs a little, not nearly as much as we probably could have learned. There were a lot of girls in his life. He had a failed marriage, lasted 7 years, but it was never a good thing. And he was gone sometime, and we didn't know where he was. During those times, we're just, you know, you pray, you wait. You love, you say, I love you, no matter what you're doing, but you're breaking my heart and you're ruining your life, you know, the things that you will say. And we prayed for him, and he never denied that he knew. Well, that's not true. There was one night he was drunk, and he says, I don't want your Christianity. I don't want Jesus. I don't want anything to do with any of it. But that was not his normal response. He knew that he knew the Lord. But he also didn't know what to do with all the pain in his life. And so for him, the pain is what he would be an alcoholic, you would say, though he hasn't had a drink in 5 years. But he would, when he was in pain, when he was so hurt, so frustrated.
That's what he would turn to.
That's what he would turn to the alcohol. And so I homeschooled him all through high school when he turned 18, which was well before he was finished. He said, I'm quitting. I don't have to go to school anymore. I said, that's true. So after about 6 months and he couldn't get a job because he didn't have a high school diploma, he said, can I finish school? Mm-hmm. And I went, I don't know. Can you? Will you? So we went back to school, and he ended up graduating first in his class. That is, only one in his class. We had a special graduation service for him. And I thought he was doing well then, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. We let him get in an apartment with some guys and go to community school, college. And yeah, that was not a good situation. And so he was in and out of our home. He'd come home for a while wanting to do well. And we had, you know, here, you're an adult now. Here, if you want to be here, we would love to have you because we'd really like to be able to have input into his life. But here's the, you know, this can happen, this can't. And after a while, then he would not be living that way. And so we would say, you are choosing to leave again. And that happened several times. And
so your heart in that was that you weren't wanting to enable
irresponsible
behavior.
But we helped him to see by having clear definitions and boundaries, and this is what's necessary if you're going to be in our home, so that he knew. And here's the result if you aren't going to live this way. And generally, it was you're going to leave and better get a job and a place to live. But always, when he was leaving even, it's like, we are so sorry that this is necessary. His girlfriend then, who he later married, said, well, you're forcing him to leave. Oh, no, it's his choice, and he knew that. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't require that I kick him out. It requires that I help him to understand how to make responsible choices. And he slowly began to grow. But then he and his wife broke up, and, well, they never had a good marriage. And they were splitting up because of unfaithfulness on both sides. And but then he called me one night, and he said, you can pray that I'm going to go to heaven. And I said, whoa, 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 wait. And he said, so I went to see her and told her that everything was my fault and that I'm sorry and please can we work this out. And she shut the door in my face. And so he was in his truck, and his job at that time was as an armed security guard. So he went out in his truck with his gun, and he's sitting in the woods with this gun to his head. And he texted me to say goodbye, basically. And after about, well, several efforts, I got him to text me back. And over the next hour, we texted back and forth, and I convinced him this was not the end of his life, that God still had a plan for him, that God had a hope and a future for him. And he finally said, okay. And he put his gun down, and he drove home. And he called me when he got home. But, you know, I tear up just thinking about it. It was a really scary time. Another time, his grandfather was dying. He adored his grandfather. He was the man in his life when he was a young boy. Took him fishing and boating and sports and stuff. And he was ill and dying, and we were really concerned that he would take his life then, too. But instead, God had been doing a work, and he brought this new woman into his life, who he's married to now, wonderful person. And between the work God had been doing and our love and encouragement and her encouragement, instead of taking his life when his grandfather died, instead he said, I have to make good for my grandfather. I have to prove that I can do this, and I have to be there for my grandmother to help her. And he'd never said those kind of things before. And all of a sudden, God was coming in a way that was enabling him to make a different approach, a different choice in life. And that was really the turning point. At that point, he's 28 years old. And finally seeing his need to be a responsible person.
Judy, through that whole journey, you were tenacious, but what kept you from just giving up, from totally losing hope?
God. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. I'm talking to people. I'm praying for others. That really is important, to take my pain and use it in praying for others.
Yeah.
I'm letting people minister to me. This one friend especially was there for me all the time. And so God just was tenacious and wouldn't let go of me in a sense. And so I increasingly didn't let go of him. I'm holding on to him, saying, I can't keep doing this. I don't know anything else to do. And you get so weary in the journey that you think, okay, I'm just going to go in and live my life. And if he comes back, that'll be wonderful, but I can't bank on it. Most people who have prodigals, especially who are addicted in any way to anything, it's going to take several rounds of a journey. They'll come back, and then there's relapse. And then they'll come back, and then there's relapse. And it will take them frequently, not always, but probably more often than not. It's going to take some time for them. They want to come back, but they can't resist the addiction. And then they want to come back, and they can't resist. And God's the only one who really knows what's going to work for them, what's going to help them to be able to come back. And he is the one who can help me or any other person who loves a prodigal to hang in there with them. You have to do some things for yourself. You need to find some safe places. I would go to the beach for a few days by myself and just spend it with the Lord. That was very much a treasured time for me to do that. I would go horseback riding because I grew up with horses, and for me, getting on a horse was a place of rest. Not true for a lot of people, I know. But to get on a horse for me was a place of rest. And so I could just go and ride and talk to the Lord. And it was important that I have people sometime, but I was by myself with the Lord other times. I'm pretty much an introvert, and so I did need to get away from that. I also had to deal—
Well, and you're also saying that you took time to take care of yourself, which I think is something that we don't do very well when we're overwhelmed with where our children are.
Yes.
So you're saying, take a day off, go rest.
Well,
and that is a good thing.
Absolutely. For me, a day was not enough. And so I would take 2, 3, 4 days. My husband didn't always like that, for me to be gone. And I would, my husband and I talked a lot. And increasingly, as time went on, he engaged more in this. At first, he was letting me, as the one who had the word from God, handle a lot of it. But then he really came to a similar place that I was, and that he would find that when Josh did something that really irritated him or frustrated him, and he would start to think negative thoughts, and it would be like he would hear God say, So Steve, what do you think you've ever done to irritate or frustrate me? And Steve said, oh, I can think of a few things. And he says, so how big is the gap between you and Josh compared to the gap between you and me? And Steve would say, oh, God, you have been so good to me. You have been so gracious and merciful. And that was a journey that he took to learn, even though we had the boundaries and the consequences, to be gracious and loving to this boy, even when he didn't deserve it, when he didn't do the things that you would want. It was a growing time for us together. A lot of it was individual, because God was working on us each. But then we could come together and share what we were learning in it. And that's been something we can look back on now and talk about how, when we're going through a challenging time in the ministry or personally or with family, Steve's mother had Alzheimer's and lived with us for several years and then was in a nursing home. And that was a hard time. It's right when I had 3 teenagers, too. And yet, the fact of learning to let God minister to us and to be there and meet our needs and show that His grace is sufficient, that He is enough, that we could learn together on that. And God didn't ever let go of us. And so the key was, could I keep holding on and not let go?
You know what I'm thinking of, Judy, as you're sharing, is that verse. It's a recurring refrain throughout the scripture, particularly in the Psalms. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever.
Forever.
That steadfast love of the Lord, that's a covenant love. It's a loyal love. It's a love on God's part that is not shaken by our behavior or our neglect of Him or our resistance of Him. The steadfast, covenant-keeping love of the Lord endures
forever.
And where in the world would we be if it weren't for the steadfast love of the Lord? And we want it for ourselves. We're thankful to have it for ourselves. We know how badly we need it. But then how hard it is for us to do what God has helped you and Steve and other parents to do, and that is to become a channel, a conduit of that steadfast love of the Lord. Where would Josh be today without the love of the Lord flowing through you to this boy who so desperately needed God's grace?
And we think that if it were not for us or someone like us who would let God's love flow through, he would be one of two places, in jail or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the decisions he was making, the path he was on, and God didn't let go of us, but also did not let go of him. God has been so gracious.
There are a lot of parents listening to this conversation who are— they're not on the other side of that wilderness, and they're in that 15-year hard journey that you and Steve had, and only God can say how long it's going to be, 15 months, 15 years, 25 years. We don't know.
No, we don't know.
But I just sense that God wants to speak words of hope and encouragement to a mom, a grandmom, a friend, a sister, somebody who loves a prodigal, to say, can you continue by my grace, loving with a steadfast love of the Lord that endures not just for 15 years, but forever. And that's why you've written this book, to help those who love prodigals, maybe a child, for many moms and dads it is, but loving someone who is in the far country, who is away from the Lord. And you've offered in this book 90 days of grace for the wilderness. Now, it's going to take more than 90 days in many cases. So what yes. somebody might want to do is read this 90 days and then start over again and read it for another 90 days. But I just think this is going to be a life preserver. It's not just your story and your journey, but you've packed this with scripture and with wisdom from God's word and with transparent sharing from your own journey, how to love a prodigal and how to experience God's grace when you're still in the wilderness and you don't see hope at the end.
Again, the book is titled When You Love a Prodigal, 90 Days of Grace for the Wilderness. It's by our guest today, Judy Douglas. We'll send you a copy when you contact us with a donation of any amount to support the work of Revive Our Hearts. To do that, just visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
I'd like to take a moment to offer my profound thanks for each person who gave to support Revive Our Hearts last month. We had a huge need, and along the way, even coming up toward the very end, I kept saying, I don't see any way that need is going to be met. In fact, I said a number of times, it's going to take a miracle to get to that $750,000 goal. Well, what a joy it is for me to tell you that, thank you, Jesus, He provided that amount. The entire need was met. So thank you, Lord, and thank you, every person who prayed, every person who gave. It may have seemed like a little amount to you, or perhaps a larger amount, but thank you so much for giving, and thank you for praying that the Lord would meet this need. We could not be more grateful, and we feel a huge sense of responsibility and stewardship to use those funds in a way that glorifies the Lord and will be as effective as possible at reaching more women around the world with the message of freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
Well, that news makes my heart happy. That is such a great report. Now, if there's a prodigal in your life, do you find it difficult to give thanks to God for the situation? Tomorrow, Judy will tell us more about some of the gifts she received during those wilderness years, including the gift of gratitude. I'm Dana Gresh, inviting you back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants you to see hard times as doors of hope. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.